Welcome to the MMA Happy Hour. I am Kyle Anthony, your host. We're here. We have interviews, MMA banter, and betting advice. This week, UFC 291, Dustin Poirier versus Justin Gaethje. We got the BMF title on the line, and I'm excited about it. We're going to be breaking down three fights here real quickly. But before we do, we got Cody Durden at the airport. Cody, I appreciate you taking the time, man, to come on, jump on here, and talk a little UFC 291, man.
No problem, man. Anytime.
Awesome, man. So I think the first thing here that I got to say is the BMF title. A lot of people talk about it. A lot of people want to talk about BMF moments right now because it's really the hot topic, obviously. But let me tell you something, Cody. You having a fight September 23rd against Bruno Silva. It's in the bank. You're preparing for that. All of a sudden, it comes up here. I saw your Twitter, July 11th. You're kind of putting your name in the hat, and then the next day it's announced. Kind of, how did that all kind of come about with really kind of jumping in this? Now you got two fights scheduled.
I got the Bruno Silva fight September 23rd, and I saw Jake Hadley had a fight. You know, we've had some back and forth, and you know he's talking, saying I'm scared to fight him and stuff, and the opportunity was there, and. You know, I like fighting, and most of all, I like money. So I'm ready. I was in Coconut Creek, Florida for 3 weeks, and then I went home for 2 weeks, and I've been training, dude. I've had a full training camp. So it's a short notice. Like, I got let know on short notice, but I'm prepared, you know, and next weekend is going to be a war.
And is there anything for you, I mean, without really kind of diving into certain things, but is there anything for you that changes? Because you had one opponent, you were kind of, the target was there, you're looking at Silva, and then this changes. For you in camp, is there anything different that kind of goes on, or is it just business as usual and looking to get the job done and now focus on a new opponent, and then you're switching over to Silva after you get the job done next weekend?
No, I mean, I was at the gym training, but I wasn't training for anything specific. You know, I had so much time until September 23rd that I was just trying to get better, you know, improve, be creative, learn new things, and work the holes that I had. And so when this opportunity presented itself, I started training more specific stuff, watching videos, studying Jake Hadley, and that's about it. I'm ready for him, man.
And I saw that you, speaking of the little, listen, I love a good MMA beef. I love the trash talking. I love all that stuff. So I saw even in your last fight, you had a little bit going on with Charles Johnson. There was the back and forth there. There was a little bit more bad blood going on. You know, after that fight, does it kind of go away, or do you just shake hands and say, hey, that's it? You know, how does that kind of go on your side, I guess?
Man, I don't take it personal. It's all fun to me. You know, I don't get mad. I just get money and laugh because it's so funny. It's cool afterwards, you know. But
and what about with Jake, though? Is it now you got this one here. Jake kind of running his mouth a little bit. You know, does that bring a little bit more extra into the fight?
Oh, definitely. More motivation. You know, I like the controversy and I love the chaos. So, yeah, we'll shake hands after, have a beer together, whatever. It's not personal to me. He's a competitor, and I'm an extreme competitor. You know, if we're playing chess, you know, if we're playing checkers, anything, I'm trying to win. So that's how I've been my whole life.
All right, man. Well, I am excited for next weekend, but we got to talk a little bit real quickly about this weekend coming up with Dustin Poirier versus Justin Gaethje, man. And listen, I think this is an absolutely incredible fight here. And giving my quick breakdown on this fight, you know, we're looking at the line right now. It's Dustin Poirier is a minus 150. You've got Gaethje coming back here, the plus 130. And this is the one, obviously, 2018 rematch, awesome fight, you know, fight of the year. Everyone wants to see it again, a rightful fight for a BMF title because, again, a lot of people want to throw their name in the hat on that. You got to be in it. You got to be in it to win it. And I think this is going to be a great fight. But the one thing here that I think it looks at, my take, really is this is going to be the volume boxing of Dustin, and it's going to be that power in the leg kicks of Justin Gaethje going at it, battling it out, and Poirier, tight defense, great boxing, good countering, the footwork's there, and Gaethje, power, looking to chop down the legs. He definitely is not going to have the speed compared to Poirier, but he's going to have that power advantage. But I think the one thing for me that made it really interesting was Gaethje's last fight against Rafael Fiziev, where that fight to me, I mean, listen, I'm always transparent. I really was loving the fact that I thought Fiziev was going to go out there and really just do what he does. His level of striking is really incredible. And Gaethje just went out there, was more technical, was more relaxed, was not going out there and just go, you know, although he is a little crazy, but he will go forward. He will push the pace. He will do all of those things. And I thought it was incredible how he was able to kind of break down Fiziev in his own world, in the stand-up game. He didn't try to just wrestle. He didn't do something outside. He really went out there and tried to push the pace. And lastly, I really think that Poirier can't check leg kicks. And I think that, to me, really is going to open up more spots for him. I know that people are looking at Poirier here, but I like Justin Gaethje here, man. I mean, I like the plus money. I like the dog here. I think he's going to push the pace. Also, this being in Salt Lake, I think does help Gaethje a little bit. He trains at altitude. What do you think, and how do you kind of see this fight going down?
Well, first of all, you know, I got history with both of these guys. Justin Gaethje, he coached me. We fought three times in one night, left with the belt and the $10,000 paycheck back in 2019, you know, right before I got in the UFC. And then I trained with Dustin Poirier. You know, I sit in the sauna with him. He just gave me some hot sauce like 3 days ago and, you know, really chopped it up with him. So I can't really pick a winner in this fight, but
that's fair.
I guarantee that the fans win, you know. These guys are going to beat the living hell out of each other. I really do feel like Dustin needs to check the leg kicks, or, you know, not take so many leg kicks. And I think Justin needs to keep his hands up when he's kicking. You know, he got caught with a counter left hand, or I think it was a right hand off of one of the kicks, which led to, you know, the TKO. Man, I'm excited. and you know, Justin, he's improved, you know, just like you said. I feel like you broke it down perfectly. But also, you know, Dustin's been looking great. So
do you think a finish again, or do you think this one's gonna be just a battle for five rounds?
Nah, bro, this is Over, what is it, 3.5? This is over 3.5, I think.
Yeah, two and a half, three and a half.
Yeah, both of these guys might be going to the hospital.
All right. So, listen, that's fair. That's fair. You don't have to pick a winner there. That's fair. I can respect all that. The next one here we're going to talk about real quickly is going to be Kevin Holland, minus 150 against Michael Chiesa, plus 130. So, basically the same line here we got going, depending what book you guys are kind of all shopping it at. But when you're looking at this fight here, I think obviously the glaring hole that everyone talks about in any show you go on or anything is be Kevin Holland's wrestling defense. He can't stop it. He's a black belt. He does have ability. Sometimes he's a little bit too comfortable on his back and he's not able to get up. He'll lose a round. But the striking is there for him, and a lot of that is really there for him. But I think the biggest thing for me when I'm looking at this fight and breaking it down was some of the outside things with Michael Chiesa. I mean, the guy hasn't fought since November of 2021. That's quite some time, and I actually want to get your take after I kind of break this down of ring rust, because more people I talk about, you know, fighters, they talk about the ring rust. I guess any sport, you know, you're not doing it for a while. Even if you're training, there's nothing like being in the cage or being on the field or being on the football field. Is you got to be in there. You got to be, it keeps you sharp. And I think that really hurts him. Plus he was talking about, you know, injury that happened. He had took some time off. He's 36 years old now. I mean, there's a lot of things that kind of go against him. And people look at, you know, Kevin Holland, where, you know, he was at middleweight and he was getting taken down by guys like Marvin Vettori and Derek Brunson, who are great wrestlers who will push the pace and not stop. And that was just terrible stylistic matchup for Holland. We're here. I think Chiesa can kind of work at range a little bit, has that 6-inch reach advantage. I think he can kind of poke and do that for a while. But I think this is one where I do like Kevin Holland. I think he goes out there and gets his victory. But I do like Holland, a little sprinkle inside the distance, plus 110. I think Holland can get the job done, jump on Chiesa, who was maybe a little bit stale. But what's your kind of thought on this fight? And just your thought on ring rust in general.
Man, I agree. You know, the ring rust, I believe it's real, especially if it's been 2 years and you're dealing with injuries. You know, Kevin's been active. He's been fighting, although he did come off an injury, you know, his hand or whatnot. But, man, I believe he gets in there and maybe he gets taken down, but he finds his way back to his feet. You know, Kevin knows that he has to be working his wrestling. He's probably been working it nonstop. And gets to his feet, and, you know, all it takes is one shot for him. So I'm taking Kevin Holland on this fight.
Yeah, me too, man. And plus, since he's been out November 21st, Holland's had 5 fights. I mean, this guy, it's almost like we can't keep you out of the cage. He just keeps coming back in looking for fights. So I agree with that. We got Kevin Holland to get that victory. And then the last one here we're going to talk about is Bobby Green versus Tony Ferguson. This line is wide. It is probably for a good reason. Now, I'm not going to give all the hoopla on this fight here, but, you know, Tony Ferguson was 25-3, lost the last 5, but boy, did he fight some killers. Losing to Justin Gaethje, Charles Oliveira, Beneil Dariush, Michael Chandler, Nate Diaz. I mean, tough sledding here, although he's kind of towards the end of his career, tough sledding overall. But the one thing I think most people look at this fight is this is going to be Bobby Green moving forward, throwing the big shots, getting the knockout, and that's the kind of way you're looking at it. I look at it kind of the other way, that this is going to have some legs. It's going to get a little bit further because you look at it. I mean, look at the guys that finished. First of all, before those 5 losses, no one was finishing Tony Ferguson. No one's even beating Tony Ferguson. But right. You look at who beat him. Justin Gaethje threw the kitchen sink at him for 5 rounds, ended up finishing him in the 5th. So that says a lot about that. Then you look at Michael Chandler, that first round debatably lost, very close first round, and then throws the front kick from hell and puts him out. So fair game there. But the other one was Nate Diaz, and that was another, I think that was late in the fight also, where he kind of jumped into the, you know, kind of a crazy situation where he got the submission loss and kind of a weird situation there. Bobby Green is not a finisher. He is fantastic with his striking, well-rounded guy, great footwork. But if you look at it, Bobby Green, since 2013, only has a finish, a half-retired Ally Aquinta in 2021, and then prior to that was James Krause in 2013. So this is not a guy that gets finishes. I think he goes out there, puts on a dominant 3 rounds, can't get the finish. I like Bobby Green via points, plus 125. I think it goes the distance, and Ferguson hangs in there but does take the loss. Well, how do you kind of see this one going?
You know, I agree with you. You know, Bobby Green's hands down kind of a counter fighter. You know, likes to take his time. He's patient. And as Tony Ferguson has aged, you have seen that he's I don't think he has the gas tank he used to have, and he's more patient. And, you know, the Justin Gaethje fight, you know, he took so much damage, you know, and then the knockout to Michael Chandler. I just don't see Tony Ferguson getting it done. And I would say either Bobby Green by finish or Bobby Green by points.
Yeah, I agree, man. I agree. So that's why this line is, I guess, minus 410. But there you go. There is our breakdowns for UFC 291, man. And listen, Cody, safe travels. And I am really excited about your next fight next weekend. And then your next fight coming up also.
Yeah, we're not even thinking about that one. one at a time, you know?
No. I'm excited, man. I'm excited, Cody. And I know you're going to get the job done. Looking forward to it. Good luck next weekend. And let's definitely do this again sometime down the road.
Yeah, for sure. Hey, tune in. I think we're 10 days away. It's going to be absolute violence.
All right, man. I'm ready for it. Good luck. And we will see you next week. And we'll do this show again. We will see you guys on the pod next weekend to talk. And we will also be talking some Cody Durden. So take care. Good luck. And we will see you next week.
Thank you. Appreciate it.